Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Caitlin Patterson, Midwest Muscle People, P Real Talk in the house. And why did I do that separated pause? I don't know. But anywho, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. With new news coming soon, or coming forth, or coming out, however you want to do it. But anywho, if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Dad?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Yes, and we are not teleprompter. Check out at peoplebemuscle.com. And now, with each other, that's right.
With each other, how are you? How are you tonight?
I'm doing quite fine, all right. Yeah, rough. What, yeah.
what?
And all that rock.
Hey, gang. All that stuff. All that poppycock. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to P4P Real Talk. And, yeah, you guys know by now, sometimes it's business as usual, and other days you just kind of get what you get with us. You just never really know. So, you know, hopefully that's kind of exciting for you, too. I know it's exciting for me.
Yeah. It's exciting for me as well.
I'm so excited. I'm just kidding.
There we go, getting our 80s on. I'm about
there
to
you
lose.
Go.
All right, I won't subject you guys to that. All right, getting on to it. As I said, happy Tuesday. Great to have you here. Little shenanigans going on, but I think that's all right. It's okay to, you know, kind of cut loose and be silly every once in a while. If you agree, say amen. Shoot us a smiley face on the message board and let's rock and roll with it. We have a question. Actually, we have a couple of questions, but this question we want to address. This one's from David, and we didn't receive this until after the last show was over, so we wanted to go ahead and kick off tonight's show with the question and answer. And I have no idea what you're saying, Caitlin. So, are you agreeing with me? Are you trying to interject?
No,
what do you got going on
over
there?
The show, I was just saying it was way later. I mean, there was no way we could respond. It's a legitimate question, but it was just I hope no one thinks that we neglected it, especially David.
It was way. I mean, we were off air by the time we got this question, so that's why we're bringing it back around here. And David says, "Hey, I have a question for Caitlin and Dez. I keep hearing how natural bodybuilders are a dying breed." But how the heck can they have a life if all this is winning on the bodybuilding amateur stage is glorified 125 to 165 pound bodybuilders? You have the same guys winning the men's physique categories. I mean, if there is such a thing as criteria for men's physique and guys being too big and muscular, shouldn't it be just the opposite for the men's bodybuilding?
Well, yeah. That is a good point. Can I take this one first, Dez? I don't want to be rude.
Yeah, please do. Please do, since of
okay.
the two of us, you are the men's bodybuilder.
Yes, and, you know, I think this is one of those things where something started trending, and God knows this country is good about trending and what's hot and what's trending. And I think one of the fallouts came was when lean took priority over muscle size. And some people's lean is an incredibly light version of the person they normally are and appear in regular life and society, which is almost 20 to 40 pounds different. Now, mind you, there are a lot of people that have done dramatic weight loss, and that's absolutely nothing. But then there are people that walk around what would be considered, you know, close to stage weight or normal human being. And you see them with their transformations and they look incredibly built, standing on their own. But when you stand them next to more filled-out muscle bellies, they look incredibly small. And at shows that, you know, are attended live by the audience members, and it sounds like David, am I saying his name right now? I want to make sure. Yeah, is that his name? Okay.
David.
I got an answer, and I don't want to be rude and mispronounce your name or say it incorrectly. But anyway, I think David has attended some shows or either been watching very closely on the winners, and he's seeing the trend as natural bodybuilding is currently, and that is basically undersized bodybuilders from what he's seeing, where people aren't looking much like bodybuilders but more like what's winning in men's physique. Especially when you have the same guy winning the same categories of men's physique and bodybuilding. So it's a valid question, because it's almost like we're driving bodybuilding out for the appearance of incredibly shredded and lean. And, you know, we've come up with all kinds of categories to basically bring about a better product for natural bodybuilding. But I think in the process, we've slipped away from where it all started, which is bodybuilding. And, you know, it's not dying. I can tell you that right now. There's plenty of bodybuilders out there. There's plenty of people that are competing at a better size. And there's monsters in the industry if we would just let them be. But I think with what's trending, it's just not popular with the people that have the true heart of bodybuilding. So if, you know, are we going to have to go to a classic bodybuilder? Like, you know, because we have a classic posing bodybuilding, but do we have to go to a classic look bodybuilding? I don't know how they're going to do it. If they want to save the sport of, well, now just save the category of bodybuilding, they're going to have to come up with something, because the one question I've been consistently and constantly asking is, you know, how many winners this year are going to have to take 2 to 4 years off just to step on stage and remotely compete against the well-established natural bodybuilding guys that are the elite of what we have right now? Because, you know, Marshall Johnson, I remember Mike Newman was saying that he was, you know, losing size, but even at his undersized package, he would still be dominating the new crop that we have coming in, because they are so much smaller than what the bodybuilding, the natural bodybuilding community is used to. So, David, that's a good question. And, you know, we will be attending a lot more shows this year, so we can definitely get the word out. Because, honestly and truthfully, I don't think this is an overnight fix for anyone. Because when you start a spiral of anything, you kind of get caught up in it. And what happens is, you know, because the judges know what to look for, they quit looking for what once was. And this one is maybe a 1 to 2 year fix, but it would definitely have to be an all side kind of, you know, mea culpa, because, you know, you have coaches teaching their clients what's winning, and this is what is expected, and so that's what they go for. And so you're going to continue to have that look until basically the criteria is set in stone and a picture is put forth in front of everyone of what a bodybuilder is supposed to be. I do agree with that. You know, if you have an oversized men's physique, that you should have an undersized bodybuilder, because if not, what is the difference in criteria and what's the point of it? I'll pass it over to Dez, and I'll give more feedback on it after her response.
Well, and you know, I do agree that it is a trend that we've been seeing, but it's not just something that just cropped up this year. I mean, this is something that's been gaining momentum, I would say, over the past couple years, as far as leanness overpowering size. I mean, and it's not the first time we've heard this question, you know, when did leanness become the priority over size when it comes to bodybuilding? And it's the same old question that you have in any category, where in bikini primarily is the example that I'm always going to come back to. But, you know, what is the body that fits that criteria? And, you know, should there be crossover, which you've heard me speak out a lot, that there shouldn't be. If you are in one specific category and you're meeting that criteria, you shouldn't be able to cross over into another event and win that category, even though you may have the best conditioned body. Is your body the best body for the criteria of that particular category? And if it's the best criteria for one category, it's really hard, I think, to truly be the best, to meet the best criteria for another category. Again, there's a difference between being the best conditioned figure on a stage and then having the physique or the figure that meets the criteria for the category that's being judged. So, you know, really interesting to see how that's going to go. And I think, and I do agree with what Kaylin is saying, is that, you know, for the leaner crowd that is coming in and they're getting their pro cards in bodybuilding, it will be interesting to see, because they are going to have some growing to do from the crop of bodybuilding pros that we currently have out there that are taking time off this year, next year, and, you know, maybe for the next couple of years, so they can get even bigger. So we're still going to continue to have a disparity, because even though we have several athletes that we know of going into the off season for maybe 2, 3, 4 years, when they come back and they're all planning to come back, they're going to be even bigger than what they are now. And right now they're at least twice the size of some of our pros that are, or some of our newer athletes that are earning their pro cards, you know, over the last year or two. So that will be interesting. You know, as Kaylin said, you have the Marshall Johnsons. Yeah, and then you have the Meshacks, who are already huge. You know, the Matthew Burnesses, Mike Morawskis, Terry Starks. I mean, and these are just, these are just the first names that pop into my head. There are so many more out there that are comparable to these athletes that have the size. Not to mention Kaylin Patterson here, who is also a bigger and bulky guy, right? Lots of muscle mass going on here. And so I don't know. It's just going to be, David, we see it, we feel you. And I wish I could say how it's going to go. I know how I think it should go, but really watching the industry do what it's going to do is, it's going to be interesting for all of us.
Well, you know, honestly, Des, this is real talk. So we're going to give an honest assessment of where it should be going. And that is, let's stick to the criteria of what's being asked, because I think we've gotten away from it. And now, you know, I've sitting in the judge's seat, I can definitely talk about subjective, you know, how this sport is subjective, and how I disagree with that statement, simply because I realized that, you know, there are people that really don't follow their criteria of the organization as it's given. And, you know, what I love about the Castillos is that they bring that criteria with them everywhere they go. And that's a policy that I picked up, to follow that lead, because even if you have question about it, you can do another posing round and get it right, instead of basically doing guesswork and saying, this is what I think, because what you think doesn't necessarily have to match up with what is in the criteria of that organization. And because there are so many organizations, if you are a well-established judge, that's good. And maybe you can differentiate from, you know, each one and keep up year to year. But it would be better to have that information laid down in front of you, and you know exactly what to look for, because it's just too vital and too critical to be doing guesswork and have where we are right now, where people are basically undersized, looking great, and as an undersized athlete. But if you're talking about the criteria, then that becomes an issue, because now no one really knows what to look for, audience included, and you don't like what I don't think anyone would like to guess about, you know, is this right? I can't imagine, you know, if somebody shoots a three-pointer and you say, well, you know, because it's this organization, does it really count as two, or did we just win the game? You know, it takes away from the atmosphere, and it takes away from the moment. And, you know, if as long as things are set in stone, it's pretty easy to establish. Because I know you were there when Nick was competing at the Jack Halverson show, and because of the criteria mm-hmm. being laid out in front of us, it was a no-brainer of, you know, him bringing a total package and him matching up to every part of the criteria that they were asking in every format. So with that being said, it's hard to say that we can keep doing smaller and smaller body builders when you have a category there which is men's physique. So, you know, the trend basically either has to be halted or shifted to a larger size, or we, not bodybuilders themselves, are killing that part of the industry.
And there you have it. So, you know, we welcome comments, thoughts, you know, whether you agree, disagree, think we're totally out of line. We want to hear it all. So send us your thoughts, and we'll continue to have this conversation, and we will see.
Okay, hold on. This is from Mary, and she says, Desiree, as a woman watching bodybuilders over the years, what do you feel and how do you feel it could be addressed in a way where all sides can find compromise?
Mary, I think, thank you for the question. And I think that's an interesting way to kind of look at it. I don't know that there really is an area there for compromise. I mean, we've had some great new categories added to the sport that account for the different body types, sizes, levels of fitness. And I think that is the solution that's been put in place to meet more of the athletes of where they are. So, you know, if you want to be a bodybuilder, I'm like, heck yeah, keep working, keep growing. But if you are not bodybuilder size yet, keep competing in the categories that meet your physique where it's at. And you can still be phenomenal. You can be a pro card holder in physique, you know, men's or women. And then as your body continues to grow and mature, then you bump up to the next category. You know, I think the fact that they introduced bikini to the sport was brilliant on whoever part it was that came up with that category, because it brought a lot more women into the sport. And some of them come in and they're bikini girls and that's their fit and that's where they're going to stay and that's where they want to be. And there are others that get started and they love the muscle, they love the process, and they're not satisfied with being bikini. And they continue to lift and grow, and then they bump up to figure. And the next thing you know, they're not satisfied with figure, so then they bump up to physique. So, I mean, it's a growing process. And I think the categories that have been put in place are a nice way of, you know, giving a wider variety of athletes more opportunity. I don't necessarily think there needs to be a compromise in what the criteria is. The criteria is the criteria. I think as new judges come up, and I'm only can speak to this as an outsider because I'm not a judge, but we just need to take a harder look at rewarding the physiques that fit the criteria and not necessarily, as I had said earlier, the physiques that are the best conditioned on the stage. And that'll cause a lot of controversy because, believe me, I've seen it. I've seen bodybuilders win because they had the size and fit the criteria, but it was kind of an uproar because they weren't the leanest body on stage. But the leanest body on stage didn't necessarily match the criteria, right? So
yes,
there's always going to be that back and forth, but that's the way that I see it, you know, looking at it as a female watching men, but also looking at it as a female and watching women progress through the ranks as well, because we need more women at the bodybuilding level as well, and I would love to see that. So I'm always happy to see women moving up through the ranks as they continue to, you know, develop and their muscles mature and just continue to be awesome athletes. But I don't know that compromise is the right word. I think it's just a matter of training for the category that that you're after, and then when you get there, just knocking it out of the park.
Okay, I've got two more from one is from Sheila, and she says, you know, is when you guys talk about lean, how do you feel about the overall health of the athlete when, okay, this is a pretty good one. Okay, what she's asking is basically how lean is too lean that harms the health of the athlete to where, you know, if they want to do multiple shows during the year. And I'll let you go, and then I'll jump on that, and then I'll ask the next one after that.
You know, that's a good question, because we always strive for better conditioning as an athlete. You'll always hear athletes talk about wanting to be better conditioned, wanting to beat the package that they brought to stage the previous time. And some of that has to do with size, and some of that has to do with coming in leaner and tighter. And, you know, there might be those out there that disagree with what I'm going to say next, but I think you just basically have to be a student of your own body. You have to monitor your health. And as much as we all like to compete as much as we can, we all know it's a grind, and we all know that it's stressful, and we all know that being stage ready is not the most optimal condition for our bodies to be in for a lengthy period of time. So I think you have to be smart on how you schedule your shows and how you plan your shows, you know, and how lean is too lean. You know, your body will give you signs if you've been too lean for too long. You will start to experience failure in certain of your bodily functions or processes, I should say. Not to scare anyone. I mean, don't freak out on me here, but I'm just saying. If you stay in a caloric deficit for too long, your body's going to start to respond to that. You could, you know, there's a lot of variety of symptoms that could happen that I won't go into at the risk of freaking some people out, but you just really have to watch that and be honest with yourself of when you need to bump back up. You know, if your body refuses to respond any further, then you need to make a shift if it's not doing what you want it to do. And part of that shift may just be time off. It may be increasing your calories so you can continue to grow and support that muscle growth in a healthy and natural way. But overall, just being smart about your competition schedule and what you can maintain while still also balancing, you know, an emotional and mental health as well.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you finish the rest of it, because I think there's a misunderstanding. I read that the article that she's referring, and well, I'll let you go first, and then what did you read the article, Des, of the competitor okay, let's talk about this. There's a lot of information that's written, but that doesn't mean it's a full truth of what's going on. There are those that speak against any kind of health because they figure, you know, it's an extreme version of life and living. And there was an article about a woman who had competed and was given a diet. And, you know, from the article's point of view, that's what killed her. But there was a genetic defect in how she metabolized protein, and because of the effect, it caused a buildup and basically led to all kinds of, like Des was saying, dysfunction and disorder, and basically it cost her life. I, as a trainer and helping people with diet, have a big issue with these cookie cutter diets, as a lot of people say, or whatever you're put on without regards, like Des was saying, to your individual health. And there are plenty of people who go in with blind trust, and they give complete faith, and it's usually to the people that don't deserve it, And you know, if you can't question the person that's in, that you place in charge of your health, then why are they in charge of your health? But that's another show, and we've covered it many times. But there is a lean that just can't be sustained, and it's great for one day or one show, but to try and hold that year round would be, it would be insane and basically life threatening. This question about this lady, granted, it does have to do with diet because whatever you eat or consume is diet. But in regards to the article, it's very biased and very unfactual, simply because if you acknowledge that there is an eating disorder, not in the way that we know as anorexia and bulimia, but basically the diet that is being given and with the health concerns, you're not really talking about bodybuilding as an industry. You're talking about an individual building their body for the sake of competing without a doctor's recommendation. No doctor would sign off on the diet that she was doing, especially with the genetic defect in her body. And no trainer or coach in their right mind would see the symptoms that were happening and still go forward with that. And I laugh not because of her passing away, but simply because it's so crazy that you can't really fathom someone saying, well, you know, let's keep going and see how it goes. Des, I'll pass it back.
I am not as familiar with this article as Kaylin is, or that our listener is who has asked the question. But again, I'm sure she must have noticed some symptoms that were coming along, and either she did not discuss those with her coach, and this is not about placing blame. This is just about, you know, you have to be able to raise these questions with your coach if you have a coach. Or she did broach those questions with her coach and the coach ignored them, which is another warning sign. So you have to be able to have those critical conversations and be able to answer these questions. And if you don't have an answer to your satisfaction, then you need to go seek somewhere else. So if I'm feeling constantly lightheaded, I feel like I'm going to pass out, I absolutely have no energy. I mean, yes, you hear us talking about just working through it and persevering through it, but there's only so much that you're going to work through. As I said, you have to be a student of your own body. You know if something's not right. You know if something is genuinely pain, joint pain, or if it's just soreness in muscle. You know if you feel lightheaded. You know if you feel migraines. You know if you have cotton mouth. You know if fatigue is extreme. You know if you can't get through your day without loads of caffeine. Because diet is all important, but the key to healthy natural bodybuilding is a healthy diet. I mean, I don't know any bodybuilder who doesn't try to work to the point where they can eat as much as they possibly can and still be as lean as they can. There is cutting to it, but it's not about starving yourself. I mean, and so I don't want people to get that impression that it's all about, you know, starving yourself to the degree that you're consuming less than, I'll throw out a crazy number, like 800 calories a day or something like that. You know, just things that are, in general, not healthy, not even for an athlete of any sort, even when you're leaning down. So, yes, I'm very sorry that she did pass away due to, from a condition that was complicated by her diet. But, you know, there are athletes out there. They're diabetic. They have other conditions. They know what their conditions are. Smart coaches know how to coach them through their conditions. You know, there's a great father-daughter team. They just competed in their first show. His daughter had a type 1 diabetes. She ended up just walking away with her pro card in the organization in bikini that she recently competed in. Did she do everything 100%? No. She did not. There were still some decisions that she made in and of herself that were not smart. But the smart thing is she had a coach that was not equipped to coach her nutritionally with the condition that she had, and they were able to end that relationship and move her to someone who had more knowledge and experience with training an athlete, a natural bodybuilding competitor with type 1 diabetes and those special needs. And if you are an athlete or you know an aspiring athlete that has special needs, they, above all else, need to particularly do their homework and not follow blindly, as Kaylin said, because that will be the difference for them. You know, and like we've talked about before, we've seen two bikini competitors falling out, not even finishing the competitions because they were overly hydrated and severely undernourished. Bad information. I don't know if they had a coach or not. If they did have a coach, that was extremely bad coaching. I mean, we are in a day and age of information that those sorts of things shouldn't happen anymore. So to be a broken record, you can't follow blindly. You have to ask questions. You have to read, to do a little bit of your own homework. Yes, you follow your coach. Yes, you trust the process. Yes, you do all of those things, but not when you know in your gut something's wrong.
Yes, 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 and heck yes. And, oh, my goodness, let's get the parade and bandwagon because she can't say it any better. My God, I mean, if your life, if your job is doing something that goes against everything that's normal, you should ask questions, and it should not be the response that frightens you or has you asking more questions or wanting to see a second opinion. We've done. I hope we've answered that and pulled. I haven't received any counter question to that. So we'll move on because I know there's other questions out there. Dez, you want to take tack on the next one?
Yeah. So this question is from Tammy, and she's asking, how can women's bodybuilding make a comeback if men are being driven out of the actual bodybuilding category? Well, good question, Tammy. I wouldn't say that men are being driven out of the bodybuilding category. I think some of our most recent pros just need to grow into the category a little bit more. We'll put it that way. And if they're listening, they're probably upset with me right now, but that's just how I see it. I would like to see more size coming into the men's bodybuilding pro stage. As far as women, gosh, you know, that is a great question. You know, if this is real talk and we are being real, we just don't have the numbers. We just don't have the numbers that we used to have. And, you know, for a while there it peaked and then it started to decline. So I'm not quite sure the answer to that question. You know, I think there just has to be, like, for all of the athletes that are striving to compete at these larger levels, the incentive and the desire. I think we have the right categories. I think we have the right number of categories. Now it's just a matter of creating that environment that attracts the athletes to continue to strive to get to that size and to be even bigger and better than maybe where they are now. So, Kaylin, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, and this is a twofold kind of thing because it's kind of apples and oranges when you look at the women bodybuilders as compared to the men bodybuilders. Because women bodybuilders, I mean, they are a unique blend of woman that basically is just above and beyond and are just so driven. And they have a mindset that's, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, when they have to go up against basically an industry that's driving the women category bikini, you know, women are more set on appearance and, you know, not frowned on or demonized like that when they do bikini as compared to when they do bodybuilding. It's such a thing going against them for women as they're getting ready to do. I'm sorry for that background noise. That's my fault. But what I was saying is that they're not as demonized to be fit in the categories that don't have the muscle and the muscle definition that's required for female bodybuilding.
True.
Men are kind of driven for size. So, you know, we kind of get the other side of the coin, which is basically, you know, being too small and you call yourself a bodybuilder. So it's kind of like arguing against itself, where you, the same information you would use for male bodybuilding, it would almost be like, well, saying the guys that are doing men's physique have a smaller appearance, and that would work with what is acceptable for women's bikini and women's figure and fitness in society. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I'm not speaking for myself, because me and fitness have a true love affair. So anybody that's driven to be fit is okay with me. I'm not speaking from a personal standpoint. I'm speaking from an industrial standpoint, which is the industry itself, and why one is being basically downsized and one was basically being ignored. Women's bodybuilding is vital. I said, because the biggest thing is you have a start and then a finish. Men's bodybuilding is vital because you have a start and a finish. You don't have a head and then cut it off and say, well, the neck is going to be the new head. That's not how it works. If bodybuilding is what drives the industry, then let bodybuilding drive the industry. If we're going to set up different parameters, you still have the categories of that industry. So I'm like Des is saying, you can't do away with it and hope you still have life. I mean, every part of the body is vital. Every part of the industry is vital, but we can't sit there and do away with the bodybuilding part just to do what? I mean, what's the eventual outcome? Undersized athlete, or people just if we start a new category for the undersized pro, then what? I mean, because if bodybuilding is building and creating a better, fit, more muscular body, at the end of the day, does downsizing really help? And I think that, like I said, because it's trending and it was popular, there became a set point that we jumped under. And because of that, like Des is saying, a year after year, you know, how low do you go? And, you know, at the end of the day, it goes back to what David said initially that even sparked this whole conversation. If we have criteria, why are we not adhering to it? And that's what it basically comes down to. And I'll pass it back to Dad to see if she has anything else.
No, not along those lines. I would just say, Tammy, you know, we just have to keep working towards the best we can for all of the categories in the sport, and just keep promoting it and encouraging women to go ahead and step up. I know that we do see posts from time to time, and this is kind of stretching it in a different direction about, you know, the dips and different things that occur. And I think maybe that was part of the underlying question that's here. But as tragic as they are, it's not the norm. Those don't happen all the time. They seem to be happening more often for one reason or another, but it's not like it's an epidemic. I guess if that's not the word, it's not the word, but I think you can follow with what I'm saying. So as far as building the sport for women in particular, I think they've put the right steps in place. They've again expanded the categories, as I said earlier, meeting athletes where they are, especially the women, and giving them a path to grow. And you know, with that being there, now we just need the women who are ready to move through that funnel and continue to strive towards that category. And I hope to see it. I really do, because those women are phenomenal athletes. They are absolutely beautiful. despite what society says, there is nothing manly about them, and, you know, would love to see more of them. And with that, I think we're drawing dangerously close to the end of our show this evening.
Yes. Wow. And every time we think we're going to do a short show, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any info out there, Des?
Any what?
Do we have any updates or info, upcoming shows?
You know, we've got some great shows coming up. We don't really have a lot of time to get into any of them at any level of detail, but this weekend we have Brian McCabe's Windy City Naturals in Chicago, so be sure to cheer for all of the athletes, including our one and only Kaylin Patterson. And then coming up, kind of exciting, Kaylin and I are going to be traveling to Pennsylvania. On behalf of Midwest Muscle, we are going to be hanging out at the 2017 NGA East Coast Natural Championships in State College, Pennsylvania. And that show is promoted by Earl Snyder and Terry Witzel. And it's going to be a great time. We're looking forward to running some great athletes as a Super Pro qualifier. So I am looking forward to seeing all of this muscle, never having been to this show before. So should be a lot of fun. And, you know, let's say go natural bodybuilding.
There you go. And this is kind of, I got this from Earl. He told me to make sure I put this out there. Because it's a fall show, this will be the last NGA show you can compete in to qualify for the Mr. America later that year, which would be on October 6th and 7th, that's the Mr. America show. His show is in September. So that will be the last time, the last show you can compete in and still qualify for the Mr. America. And I am very happy that people are now having to qualify for shows instead of just showing up and hoping that they can compete in it, because it does bring about a better caliber show. I've witnessed it. I've been a part of it. And I've seen it firsthand. It does make for better shows for people to basically be primed and ready before they step on stage instead of just stepping on stage for the first time. I'll pass it back to Des, and we'll run this show on out.
And there we go. So you guys, be sure if you're in the area of either of these shows to be to check it out, support natural bodybuilding. There are several more shows that are going on. In fact, there were some great shows that happened last weekend, still waiting for all of the full updates to come through and see the list of all the winners. So we're going to be talking about that on our next show. Speaking of which, we are having Shalene Cunningham. She's a psychologist, and she's going to be helping us round out our conversation that we started about suicide. So she's going to be coming up on Thursday as well. So you're going to want to be sure to tune in. And if that wasn't enough, if you haven't been paying attention to your social media, then you may have missed P4P Muscle's latest announcement that came out. They are making an upgrade to their manufacturing, flavoring, and quality control capabilities, and that is starting this fall. And so they are going to be coming out with new qualifications, certifications, and accreditations to their manufacturing process. So if it wasn't enough to have great tasting WADA compliant products, they are upping the ante, and they are going to be Natural Products Association, GMP certified, FDA registered, and USDA organic certified, kosher certified, all kinds of certifications flying out here. And they're still going to have all of the same great flavors that they always had, in addition to a couple of new ones. So exciting stuff going on there. And yes, Kaylin was worried that Snickerdoodle might not make the transition, but Snickerdoodle's still going to be in there, Kaylin. No worries. No worries. But you know what? Chocolate Whey was also on that list. So, hey, hashtag still winning.
So, with
all that being said, hey, just let's have your Snickerdoodle shout out. Let's not be salty over there.
Snickerdoodle, Snickerpoodle.
All right. On behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.